Hello. Oh my gosh, so excited for this episode of the Watch Along Suspicion Edition that we're going to watch episode 4 called The Devil You Know. Oh, I've got my suspicion hat on. This is the hat that the cast gave to the crew as our wrap gift. So I've got that on today because we are going to be talking to Georgina Campbell, who played Natalie Thompson in Suspicion. She is the most incredible actress, BAFTA winning actress. She won a BAFTA for Murdered by My Boyfriend, which is an incredible film, and she was just phenom in it. I'm gonna geek out so much. I'm such a huge fan of hers, and I luckily get to call her a friend. She's also been in Krypton, she's been in Black Mirror, she's just been in everything, and she's absolutely amazing. She works so much and so has carved time out of her busy schedule to watch episode 4 with us today, which is a massive one for her character and for her sister and just her family in general. And so yeah, I'm really excited to be watching this today. It was written by Megan Gallagher, it was directed by Stefan Schwartz. Let's look at the tagline. It is, Eddie teams up with Adesh to clear their names. Natalie helps Vanessa and Scott in their quest. Catherine faces pressure to tell the truth. Tell the truth. Sad that I don't have my outfit that I wore in episode 4 for some reason. I didn't buy that dress. I can't remember why now. I do have the coat and the shoes, but you can't be wearing a coat inside on Zoom, and you're not going to see the shoes, so instead I'm going to wear my slippers. Hey, thank you for being here. I've already drunk all the caffeine, as you might be able to tell, so there's nothing else to do apart from say, hey, welcome to the Watch Along Suspicion Edition episode 4 with Georgina Campbell. Everybody, welcome along to the Watch Along Suspicion Edition with the amazing Georgina Campbell. How are you?
Hello, I'm good, thank you. Excited.
We're both all pink. We're so excited to be here.
Yes, got all dressed up.
All dressed up. right, so let's press play so that otherwise I feel like I'll just chat away to you forever and we won't watch it. For everybody at home, we are at 1:25, around there. It's basically just when it says Apple Original. So
3, 2, 1, play.
Okay. Oh, yours is up there.
Mine's up here, yeah.
Yeah.
Such a shame. It's like, you'll see my double chin the whole time, basically.
Yeah, I managed to get mine right by the computer, so it's there and there.
Oh my god, that's so great. It's all about the eye lines. Okay, I'm going to move you up. Oh, well, right. So you play Natalie Thompson in Suspicion. You're not on the screen yet, so I'm just going to use this time while Tom Rhys-Harris is in the room, the interrogation room.
Yes.
Can you speak just a little bit about, like, how you came to do the role, how that, like, how did you do that?
Well, I want to know. I got an audition for it, and I remember at the time it was an online, it was like a self-tape, but they said I could go in and I could go in if I wanted to, if I didn't have anyone to read with or whatever. So I was like, I'm going to go in because I really like this and I think it'll be better if I go in. So I went in for the first little audition and that was fine. And then the second one was with Chris. Who else was there? Darren was probably there as well. I can't really remember, it's a bit of a blur, but I went in and I was really kind of like excited, and I was sort of like, this is it, like I've been doing a few jobs that I hadn't kind of loved, and I really read the script and I thought this is gonna be really exciting, and it was kind of a long project. And then we had to do a very can I say like spoilers?
Yes, yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Well, because this is like going to come out after everything's done.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you're not caught up, yeah, mute.
There's the scene where Natalie is about to kill herself because Monique's died.
Yeah.
And, big spoiler alert.
Just dive right in there, yeah.
And I had to do that in the audition. So I was really worried about that because I was like, this is a really big scene. She's going to be crying, everything. So I went in and I had the wrong sides. So I had the wrong scene. It wasn't written correctly. So I started and Chris was like, that's not the right one. Like, you got sent the wrong one. So I need you to take this one and go out. So I went out and looked at it and had to kind of like learn it quickly. And I went back in and I was really scared and nervous. And I was like, this is it. Like, this is ruined now. I'm never going to be able to do it. And I did it. And, you know, it was fine. I didn't really know what was what. But I left. And as soon as I left, I like burst out crying. I rang my mom. I was like, oh, my God, everything went wrong. I'm never going to get this job. What am I going to do with my career? Kind of had like a full meltdown.
Oh,
and then a few weeks later, I found out I got it.
Oh,
which I feel like is always the way when you come out of things and you're like, I did so well, you never get the job. And never. When you think it went terribly, those are the ones you get.
So was it the same scene but just slightly different words? Like, were you still kind
of... Yeah, it was the same scene. It was the same intention and everything, but it was completely different words because it's sort of a monologue. And the one that they'd sent me first was a lot longer and was just different. It was just very different, and it'd been rewritten, and yeah, they were kind of like, this is the right one. And I was like,
oh my gosh. That's the worst, because when something's a bit similar but like same intention but different words, then to go and a monologue, then to go out, and oh my gosh, how stressful.
And I could hear someone else because they had to have other people come in to audition. Oh, there were lots of people there, so they were like, we'll slip you in after these two people. So I could hear other people going in, and I was like, no.
That is the worst. Honestly,
yeah,
if you can get
stressful.
I prefer being in the room too. Like, and when we say in the room, it's like when you get to go in to a room with the casting director or producers and, you know, do it face to face rather than send in a taped audition. But it does, there is so much psychology that goes along with it of like, don't listen to other people, and do you put headphones in so nobody talks to you, and there's always that person that's usually me that's really nervous, it's like, hey, so tell me your whole life story because I can't stop my brain going right now, and then they distract you, and it's like, oh my god, it's like psychological warfare. It's a lot. Yeah. So have you spoken to Chris since about your audition? Like, does he know like that you burst into tears?
I don't think he knows if I burst into tears, or maybe I told him and he just thought I was joking, which I went along with. he saw it completely different. He was like, oh no, you came in and it was yours. It was yours immediately. He was like,
oh my God.
I knew it was you. Which was really nice to hear, because that's not always the case. So he had confidence in me, even where I didn't. So that's nice.
Yeah. It's amazing. And you just have no idea. You just wish in a way that they'd kind of give you a little wink as you're going out. So you get like,
true.
That was good. Or I didn't...
They're quite cold when you leave. They're sort of like, okay, bye. And you're
So, how do you cope with that? Like, you know, is that something you get better at? Because I feel like that's quite a relatable thing, whether you're an actor or whatever you're doing, of like, you know, you can constantly be like, feel like you're being judged, even if that person really isn't judging you. How do you cope with that? I mean, like, have your methods where you call your mom and cry? Like,
yeah, I mean, sometimes it is really overwhelming, especially if it's something that you really get stuck into and you're like, this is mine.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's really not yours. And you kind of have to go like, okay. But normally I'm quite good at kind of detaching.
Yeah.
And not getting too pulled in. But I think it's when you get to the point of doing like two auditions or three auditions is when you suddenly start to get very ahead of yourself, and you've planned everything and you know that this is your job. And then suddenly if it doesn't happen, you're kind of devastated. But you just pick yourself back up and carry on. You know.
Yeah.
That's what we have to do.
Funny. Yeah, exactly. And every job, like, it's often for me at the time, it is quite consuming, isn't it? When you're like, especially like you say, when you go like second round, third round, and you can kind of taste it almost. Then you start Googling like, well, where would I live in Bulgaria when I book this job? You know, like, But then every job I haven't got, which is, you know, quite a few, I'll look back and go, wow, thank goodness, because that would have made this, this and this not be able to happen. Or I remember from my audition for this, I was auditioning for another project that I wanted so much. And looking back, I go, and I was devastated when I found out I didn't get it, but I wouldn't have been able to do Suspicion, which would have just, which was my dream job. I didn't even know was like just around the corner. And so it's like, you know, when you look back,
you have to keep
so much
looking
better,
forward.
Isn't it? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yes. Let's remember that. Keep looking forward. So the reason I asked you to do this episode, which you so graciously said yes to, being one of the busiest women that I know.
I'm not that busy at the moment, but...
Yeah, but only just.
But sure, yeah.
was because of, obviously, without spoiling it too much, just in case people haven't seen this episode, but it's your relationship with Monique. And, you know, there's a ton of stuff that happens in this episode for Natalie. Can you speak about, like, the process with Lydia West, who plays Monique? Because we're going to see you both on screen soon. How is that? Because you know, Monique's so important to your character. And then you and Lydia formed such an amazing bond. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, Lydia's the best. I had a chemistry read with a few different actresses for the part of Monique, because that was a really important part of kind of Natalie's story.
Yeah.
And we did a few, you know, chemistry reads with some really good actresses, but nothing had kind of like necessarily clicked. You know what it's like? It's this weird kind of, you're not even able to define it, chemistry. It just sort of happens, and it either happens or it doesn't really. But I think what also helped with me and Lydia was, like, I knew of her work. I'd seen her in years and years. We have the same agent, but we'd never met. So when I came in for the chemistry read, because it was a separate one, because she was working on something. So Chris was like, could you come in on this day? I know you're not meant to, but we're trying to get this actress in, Lydia Westy. Like, and I was like, oh my God, yes, I can't wait. Did I say Westy?
You did, but I liked it. But then I went, oh Lydia, my gosh, Westy, I've been calling her West for 2 years. Oh, she just came on the screen. Oh. Gosh, she's just so amazing,
isn't
she?
Beautiful and lovely. But I like came bouncing in, and I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited to meet you. And she was like, oh my God, me too. And then we just like jumped on each other. And I think Chris was like, what the fuck is happening? Do you know each other? And we were like, no.
Why?
And then whatever. So then we sat down and we did the scene, and we were both really excited, and it just went so well and so smoothly, and we just kind of very easily clicked. And then as soon as she left, I was like, I mean, she's it. And Chris was like, yeah, of course it's her. It's definitely her. And then we just kind of like had a really lovely friendship through it. I mean, all of us did, but Lydia, she's just such a sweetheart. And it was just so funny as well, which, you know, was that there's meant to be 10 years between the sisters, which I was furious about. And I was like, Chris, is going to change, right? I mean, I don't even know in the script anymore if you necessarily know when you watch the show, but there is meant to be 10 years. You know, she's meant to be kind of at uni, and I'm in my 30s. And actually, when we started shooting, Lydia was 27 and I was 28. And I was like, that's so rude. So rude, and I'm so upset, which she obviously just thought was hilarious, and it was kind of funny. And she's so like young, and she has such a bubbly and young energy, and I think it does work, her being my little sister, but really there's only like a year between us.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny. I had the same thing when I was like, I have a 12 year old daughter, I don't know, I'm gonna get to set and she's gonna be 5, and I was like, oh no, there you are, same size as me, brilliant. I'm not going to paint out my wrinkles, I suppose. Exactly. That's really interesting, because it is the, like, they call it a chemistry read for a reason, I suppose, right? And they can feel so, especially if you're not the one with the part, to come in and then go, right, well, I have to have chemistry. It's like, you're just so not
it's
in
really
control
weird.
Of that.
Yeah.
And so then when it works, and I've had chemistry reads where, you're like, oh man, I didn't really feel it with anyone. It's like going on a blind date and you just kind of have to try to, you try to make it so that there's something there. And
it's really hard. It's like two people having to come at two different characters in a way that interlocks and works together, really. Yeah. Because if someone comes in the kind of different take on the character that doesn't quite work with your take on a character, there's so many things that go into it kind of all clicking together.
Yeah, totally. And then she was just the one and you came in. It's just funny that you came, like, that was a separate session as well.
Yeah. It's a separate session.
Session, and then she was like, just the one. Yeah, and you were a massive fan of her and she was a massive fan of you. And it all just
it was
worked.
Just really nice. Yeah, and had the same agent. So we were just sort of like, I don't know, like, it's just like we just felt
just
like we knew each other. And had,
Yeah. And then did you know in episode 4 what would happen with, like, did you know that that was, I suppose, was it in your audition scene that she, that Monique didn't make it?
Yeah, I did know that. I did know that that was a big part of the story, which was why also that they were so concerned with who was going to play Monique, because she's such a kind of heartbreaking moment that also kind of spins this whole change and kind of puts a lot of things in kind of progress for how the whole thing is going to end, especially for Natalie's story. So they were really keen to make sure that it was going to be as heartbreaking as possible and that the audience would just fall in love with Monique, which, I mean, you can't help but fall in love with Lydia. So.
Yeah, well, exactly. And the two of yours relationship, because you get to understand... You know, everybody in the show has a secret, and we'll see the scene in a minute where you, like, now you're texting.
Oh, yeah, here I am.
Here you are. Oh, my gosh, look.
Texting
Sean, I think. Texting old Shawnee babes.
Yeah.
Natalie's just such an interesting character because she's, like, not 100% innocent. She is doing something that's, you know, potentially slightly dodgy with other people's money and different things. But we get to find out that you're doing it you did it to be able to send your little sister who you love to college and for her to have the education that you feel like she deserves. And then in this scene, we kind of see that, like, it feels like you're still trying to protect her in this way. Right?
Yeah. I think kind of in this situation, Monique is definitely Natalie's biggest downfall. Like, everything she does now with the police is because she's concerned about Monique and wants to make sure that she doesn't get arrested, that she doesn't get anything down on her record, that she doesn't get in trouble with Sean or anyone else. She just wants to kind of protect her, which is, big sisterly and kind of, like, tragic for her because she knows that she's kind of not in a great position.
Well, yeah, exactly. And there's no kind of, like, this is why it's wonderful to watch her, because you go, okay, well, I get it. She should probably go to jail because of fraud or whatever. But then you go, she's like, Natalie doesn't even ask what sentence am I going to get if I help you here?
No.
She just wants to know that Monique is going to get off. And so then when we see her with Vanessa and, oh my gosh, what's Noah's character called? Scott.
Oh, God, don't. Scott.
Yeah, I know. When you see him with her, you can... How do you approach a scene like that where you're trying to, as an actor, you don't want to give away, like, you don't want to seem too guilty, I suppose, in the scene, right? You don't want to, like... But then you want the audience to know... like, indicates, like, how do you not play my sister's not going to make it in this episode in a scene that, you know, like, what are you thinking in your mind? I need to get...
I think that the feeling, or at least I feel like the way it was written and by Rob and the way that kind of Stefan was shooting it was that it's almost kind of like a fake out of, like, you get this rush of emotion and she's worried. There's tension, pulling all the way through this episode for her. And then at the end of her kind of situation with the police, her and Monique kind of leave together and there's sort of a moment of pause, reflection, and, like, it's going to be okay. and then we get hit by, you know, the next thing. So they kind of like make it kind of these different ebbs and flows of tension. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like in those first scenes with Noah and Angel, it was just felt very natural, and I just kind of, you know, felt like, what would you do if you were in the same situation and it was your little sister and you were the police and you've basically fucked up your whole life, and all you can do now is try to make sure you don't fuck up your sisters and your fiancés and just try and keep them as far away from it as you possibly can.
Yeah, because I mean, Natalie is very quick to kind of say to Joe, I don't need you in here. Do you think that she knows basically as soon as she's arrested that their relationship is just not gonna...
I think she knows that the relationship's not going to work, and it obviously isn't because she's keeping so much from him. And most people that are getting married aren't like keeping these insane sort of secrets from their fiance. It's probably not going to be a great marriage. And then I think when he comes in, she A, doesn't want him to be involved in it because he's a reputable lawyer, and this is, she's done it. She knows that she's done all this stuff. And she also, I think at that moment, doesn't want to deal with also having to tell him everything she's done. Right. She's already having to admit this stuff to the police because they've caught her. But I think having him there as an added, oh my God, another person in my life, as well as Monique, who's going to find out all these terrible things I've done. Yeah. And I think even though Monique kind of forgives her, she still is very judgmental, which she should be. She still holds her accountable and is sort of like, well, you're kind of dancing around it and saying that you've not really done anything wrong, but you have. You've stolen stuff. So
yeah,
I think she's kind of scared of what her other family members are going to think of her as well.
Yeah. And then when you're going into scenes like, because this is only day two, I feel like, of this whole saga, maybe two or three.
It's hard to keep up, isn't it?
Really hard. Is each episode a day?
Almost, something like that, yeah.
Something like that. So on episode four...
I mean,
like,
this might be day three? I don't know. Have they slept?
We've all had an outfit
change.
She's
been there overnight, so yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Just like what we're wearing. Oh, look, but no, you have been... So Natalie, at this point as a character, had your wedding day, been arrested...
Yeah.
Not slept through the interrogation, and then I feel like it's the next day you went home, you got changed, and now they're like, you're back in being questioned, and now cutting this deal with going to see Sean. So now you're in the car with Angel.
Yes.
How was it to work with Angel? How was this scene to do? Because this is a beautiful scene where you kind of have a bonding over, you know, both, like both trying to make it in a tricky world.
Yeah.
And it's unclear as to like whether she's like, whether Vanessa really is bonding or whether she's just trying to get something from you. Like, how did you guys approach the dynamic of this scene?
Yeah, it was a really nice scene, and Angel's such a fantastic actress, and I just always think that people who deliver lots of information, especially if you're playing a detective or something, you kind of have to give a lot of information to the audience, and she does it in such a beautiful way, and she does these, you know, the interrogation scenes. She kind of has all of us and is interrogating us all episode, and she has different ways that she goes about each character, and I just think she's great. But in that scene, I think Stefan was very keen to kind of find a moment of like humanity between them and to kind of feel a kinship and that they're working together. But then obviously Angel's character needs to keep a little bit of wariness, which is when she says, you know, or you could have also been kidnapping Leo Newman. And I remember at the time Angel was like, I don't want to say it. Moment, but it was like, you know, she has to, because you have to keep kind of like wrong footing the characters, and just when they feel comfortable, suddenly someone comes in and kind of makes them anxious again.
Yeah,
so yeah, I did really enjoy that scene.
That's so funny, of course. That feels very angelic. I'll be like, I just want this to be nice. And so often, you know, you can,
yeah.
Like, I love watching thrillers and all that stuff, but when you're acting in it, you're like, can't we make this a rom-com and all be nice to each other?
Yeah, like, what? Nice.
So now we're in, like, where are you? Like, a disused warehouse car park situation.
Yeah. Somewhere in London.
What, like, how was it to shoot this scene? Because we shot this in the dead of winter in England, and oh my god, I've never been so cold in my life as when we were shooting. And there's a million cars, like ambulances, loads of background. Like, was this? Did this take forever to shoot? Was it all on different days?
I think most of this was on one day, apart from the kind of chase sequence and stuff. I think that might have been shot on another. I can't. Maybe it wasn't one day. Maybe it was 2 days. I don't know. It's all a blur. But
I'm asking you to be very specific about something 2 years ago.
It might have been a couple of days, but it was cold and it was raining. There were lots of people there, which was really great, and it was kind of like an exciting atmosphere. And I remember having to drive this car and being really nervous because first time I'd driven a car in a TV show before, because I haven't had my license that long. And there was a whole thing where I had to like park it in a specific space, and the mark was like a branch, and I was like, I can't see that. And I think the first time I went so slowly, and they were like, okay, like speeding up a little bit, like what's going on? So that was the most nerve-wracking thing of the whole day, I think, was just parking the car. But it was a great day apart from all the rain. There is a point where I'm like sat in a puddle, and I was sat in a puddle for about half a day.
Oh my gosh. And half a day is 6 hours. I mean,
yeah. Kept getting back in the puddles.
Yeah. Back in the puddle, brilliant. Yeah. This is my dream job. This is my dream job.
Exactly.
Did you have to do I remember when we first got, like when I first landed in England, like got set and everything was rehearsals. Did you go on like a driving assessment with someone from stunts? I remember to do that. Yes. I mean, I've never been so nervous. I was like, oh my god, I'm 15 again. It was terrifying.
Mine was awful. I didn't have a car at that point. So I hadn't, I'd learnt to drive, I think 6 months before, but I hadn't driven since. So they were like saying something about me driving a van at one point, and I was like, I don't really know about that. I was like, can I not do that? And they were like, we'll send you to do this driving assessment. And I was like, okay. So we went on the driving assessment, but it was like a BMW or something. And I immediately was like, oh my god, and it was
nice.
Huge,
yeah.
And I'd only driven like a little hatchback before.
Oh my gosh.
So I think we went, honestly, I was probably going about 15 miles an hour. It's like the whole time I was just looking at him like, and then I think literally after about 5 minutes, he was like, okay, let's just pull over, you get out, and I'm gonna drive us back. And I was like, okay, and they were like, yeah, we've taken that scene out.
So perfect.
It's fine. And then over the COVID break is when I bought a car, and then I started using it and going out and stuff. So when we came back and did this scene, I had driven a car a bit, so I was at least able to properly drive a car.
Perfect.
At that point.
It was always the thing, like, you just know your agent when they were talking about the part for you, like, can she drive? Oh yes, she's an amazing driver. Can she drive a van? Yeah, absolutely.
She can do everything. Yeah. Any stunts, great.
Yeah. And you had Angel in the car as well. Oh my gosh, I love this scene when you're just walking across and they're just like slow motion on your feet.
Stefan was really amazing this day. And I remember at the time, I was like, this is taking forever, because he was constantly taking up little bits like my eyes or my nails or like whatever. And seeing it all come together, I was like, oh yeah, like he knows exactly what he's doing. That's amazing. Like, it looks fantastic. It took forever, but it's worth it. Like, it looks
great. Well, and that's the difference, isn't it? Like, when you look at the schedule and you go, oh my gosh, well, we're going to be done by lunch. There's no way we need 12 hours to do half a page. Come on. And then obviously you get that, and then you, and then you see it and you go like, oh, well, yeah, of course. Because how do you build tension of basically someone walking from a car to another vehicle? Like, and then, you know, how do you do that without like slow motion on feet and little bits here and there, and you have to make sure you're
just building it and building it.
Yeah, not just looking like you're cold and wet because you sat in a puddle.
Yeah.
I did when I True. Read the script. I was like, oh my gosh, Natalie's dead. This is it.
Oh, yeah. I wonder, I don't know if people, I feel like, no, people will know she's not dead, right? They might think it for a second. You never know.
It would potentially be too
it's
easy.
Dramatic.
Yeah, dramatic. It's nice too, then, when you watch, because when I watched it with Zach, he was like, oh my gosh. And I was like, yeah, but surely you know, because I was hanging out with G like the whole shoot.
Yeah.
It's not like she just wasn't there for the last three episodes, but it did get him. When you know the answer,
good.
I think sometimes it's like, oh, no one's ever going to think that. And then.
I loved this whole sequence that they did.
Gosh, the chase.
With the,
I know.
The stunt guy on the motorbike. I think it's amazing.
Yeah, and it's always great too when they put helmets on people, or like in superhero shows when you always, if and when you play a superhero, you always want to make sure your character has a mask, because then you don't have to do any of your own stunts.
Oh, yeah. Definitely, that's a good idea.
Like, if you're Superman or Supergirl, you have to do all your own stunts. But, like, if you're
right.
The Flash with the mask, you don't need
to
do
anything. Anyone can be there.
Anyone can be there. Oh, look, here you are. So we've just discovered you've got your thing.
Yeah, and I think Angel had to get her hand right under the vest, which was right on my boob and was kind of digging around in that.
That's why you get so
close. You've got to do.
Yeah, exactly. What do you need to say? Well, try not to fill someone up all day. When you're acting something like this, like coming round from being shot, but it goes into a vest, like, what do you like Google or on like what how much
no I've probably just watched too many movies and I'm like, that's what they do, right? And then there's
I mean, it looks
then
so
was a
real
stunt guy. Yeah, there was a stunt guy, I can't remember his name, but he was kind of there and he was, you know, kind of saying, okay, so it would have hit you there, so you'd be really winded, and then like you've hit your head, so also you need to be aware that your head would be hurting, it probably is really like aching, and then at the same time you're just trying to breathe. So he was there to kind of give a little push on this is how you should probably react.
I don't know.
I always find that stuff so hard to watch because it's like I immediately am like, come on. You know, when you see yourself do it, you're like, oh,
yeah, of course.
Really?
And also, you can see when you're going like, oh, I didn't feel that take, or I can see myself like looking to go, when are you cutting, or no one else would see those things. It's actually amazing that you said yes to this, because it is a lot of actors' worst nightmare to watch themselves and stuff. Like, do you watch the stuff you've done usually?
I do. I like to kind of see everything come together, and like, this is really interesting because you get to see everybody else's parts, and especially at the beginning everyone's so apart and has their own little things that we weren't around for filming, so that's nice. But I do find it hard. It's not easy, but I do think it's helpful. It can be helpful to kind of see things and think about them and think, oh, I don't know, like, is that like a little tick that I always have? Maybe I need to kind of not do that in everything.
Yes. Oh my gosh, totally agree. Yeah.
Kind of.
Can I say that was the character's tick, or do I do that in everything? I do the same thing.
What about you?
I'll watch everything. Oftentimes I like to watch it once just on my own with like the duvet over my head and just kind of get that through my system, and then I can watch it again a bit more relaxed. But then if I watch it, then I have to be done. Like, I can't, you know, I'll watch it the first time and similar to you, be like, oh, was that, how did that go? And most of the time I watch it and I go, oh my God, I thought after that scene my career was going to be over, because I thought I did a horrendous job and it was all going to be terrible. And oh my God, they're on me for 2 seconds and everything's fine. And then I'll watch it a second time and just enjoy the show and actually like hear what other people are saying. But then I have to be done, because I feel like if I watch it again to be like, well, could I do this scene better? Then I'm just like, oh, it's just not helpful.
Yeah, there's no point.
Then you'd go in a spiral of despair.
Go a bit crazy.
Yeah. So while you're not on screen and Sean is about to horrendously decapitate somebody, standard. So I had loads of amazing questions for you. I just have them on my thing here. So this is quite a good one, I suppose, for the scene that we just saw, which of you like walking over and getting shot. For an actor doing that all day, you don't get that much. You know, it's not like you have an amazing monologue or great scene. You know, it could be quite tedious potentially to do. So kind of in line with that, and not that like this was a bad day at all, but Bad Perfectionism on Instagram asked, what do you do on the days when there's a lack of motivation and you still have to work? Which I found this really interesting, because when we were filming this, it was such a stressful time, right? It's like the world is going through something, and I feel like anxiety was at an all-time high, and all the methods that I know I had on other jobs, it's like they didn't really cut it for shooting on this job. So, and I know a lot of people are kind of still in a very stressed state of life right now. So do you have any, like, if you're just like, oh my God, I don't want to do this today?
I think sometimes you just have to do, like, it's such a cliche, but like, fake it till you make it. And sometimes you don't feel it, and it's sort of like you're at work, you still have to show up and do it. And it kind of ebbs and flows when you're filming something for months. I mean, this was like almost a year in total. You can't get the perfect thing every day. Not every day you're going to come in and get that emotion or get that, you know, sometimes when you're working, you get those like sparky moments that feel so real and so visceral, and it's kind of incredible, but you can't get that all the time. So you just have to kind of move through it, do what you can do, and, you know, just not be too hard on yourself. Because I think I always used to kind of be really like, you've got to kind of like hit it and nail it every time and be amazing every time. And you put yourself under so much pressure that A, it's not enjoyable, and like you want to be able to enjoy being at work, and B, it's just too much. It's too much pressure. And and when everything comes together as well, you know, those like really great scenes that you felt were great, sometimes they really hold up and they're exciting and whatever. And sometimes the scenes that you're like, on the day I didn't really feel like I was that into it, they really work. And luckily, most of the time, and especially on this, you have other actors to rely on. It's not just you. I think when you're doing projects where it is just you, and maybe it's you and like one other character or whatever, and you have all that pressure. But luckily, when you're working with lots of people, you can kind of like lean on other people and know that you're working with people that are really good and that they're going to kind of bring you up with them. And I think that's a nice thing. So you don't always have to completely be like, this is all on me.
Yeah, you're so right. It is. That really like struck me when you were just saying like, you have to just take the pressure off, because I think that's a difficult thing. I suppose in many jobs, but particularly when you're doing something creatively that's kind of has been your refuge, like acting was a way that I was able to escape, or like, you know, that like it was my first love in a way. And then you're doing it as a job, like you say, and it's that kind of dichotomy of going like, yes, I'm doing it in a way for those sparky moments, and they're so amazing when they come, but also there's a lot of moments in between where you're going to be thinking about your shopping list and then be like, oh my gosh, I'm meant to be like breaking up with my fiance right now or something, you know? And then you've just got to go, we am human. It's not a one woman show. As you say, there's like, you know, so many other factors in there. But it's interesting because I often find that like if an actor will confide in me after a scene or a take and just be like, oh my gosh, I'm just not feeling it, I would have no idea. Just, you know, you don't, do you,
it's
like
such a mental thing.
Yeah, such a mental thing. Do you like watching playback ever when you're working?
I'm not massively keen on it, no. I do sometimes if A, if like Video Village is nearby and they're just taking a long time to set up and they're watching, I'll be like, I'll go and have a look. or if, you know, I am really concerned about something. But I do think that any time, I mean, I don't watch playback that much, but any time that I have, you get a similar feeling of like, it's so, you know, you're so in it and you're there. And as soon as your mind wanders, you suddenly feel like out of it. And like, I'm not in the character, like I don't. And you think everything's gone to shit. And then, yeah, you know, maybe you manage to see a bit of playback and you're like, oh, that's fine. Yeah. It's not as bad as I thought it was. I'm sorry. You kind of build it up so much more in your head.
Yeah, of course. Well, because I always think of when I'm acting that basically it's my close-up the whole time. And often they can't, like, it could be you, it could not be you. Like, it's your back, or you're not even on, or it's, do you think that's got better the more you've been, more in the industry, do you feel like you've got better at being able to watch playback, or being able to go, oh, it's fine, I'm sure everything's going to be great?
Yeah, I'm okay at watching playback if, like, I need to, if it's necessary. But just for me, I'm not that keen on it. But, yeah, I kind of think it's going to be what it's going to be. And the last job I did, actually, I sometimes find it really hard in rehearsal period to go, like, hell for leather. So when there's like big scenes and in this film, there's a kind of big emotional scene. And I think the directors they wanted to see me do it.
Yeah.
Full hell for leather in the rehearsal. I didn't know the line, so I was like, I'm not going to be able to do that. And I kind of said, like, I was like, I'm happy to block and figure it out. But I was like, I don't want to go for the full emotion right now. And they kind of like pushed a little bit and I pushed back. Because in my mind, I feel like I've been working for so long. I was like, I know I can do this.
Yeah.
I know it's going to be fine. I don't want to do it right now. Because it takes it out of you and it might sound over the top. But it does.
It does.
It's hard. It's like really. And it was a really, really hard scene. And I was like, I just don't want to do that right now. And then, you know, it came to the day and we did it. And it was fine. It was great. They were really happy. It was very funny, actually, because it was one of the first scenes we did. And I think they, like, because I hadn't done it, were a little bit concerned about the scene, if it was going to work. And then we did it. And it was, you know, very, like, emotional. And they came over and they were like, oh, my God, we loved it. And I was like, okay, good. I'm glad.
I'll just go back and cry for the next 12 hours.
Yeah, and that's the thing, it was the whole day was just that scene. So it was from the beginning of the day to the end of the day, that full emotion. And you know, some shots, you know, maybe you don't need to hit it that hard, but still for quite a few hours you're hitting it pretty hard.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, absolutely. And it does, your body doesn't know that it isn't real a lot of the time.
No.
And it's really impressive. I mean, I loved working with you for a bazillion reasons, but there's something I've really enjoyed watching you do, and you do it in a way that's so classy and brilliant, but you have been doing this a long time and you do know what's best for you and also for the character, and you're able to, because sometimes I feel like I can be a bit too like, oh yeah, your idea is probably, yeah, that's fine, I won't bother saying mine, or like, you're very good for speaking your side of things and just saying, that sounds brilliant and we could definitely try it like that, but I'm going to offer this to you. And like the technique of it as well, you know, of like, very few people know what it takes to cry for 12 hours a day. So, but just having the confidence, because you know, there's like, where does that come from? Does that come from having a time where you did do a rehearsal, or you didn't respond to your instinct that was like, I shouldn't go for it, and it turned out not to be as good? Like, and how do you say it in a way that like people respond rather than, because like, you know what I mean? Like, that's such a good skill.
I think I probably learned, for a lot of my career I've played very emotional, very like raw characters. It's something that I kind of end up getting a lot, and something that I enjoy. And but I think when I first started out, I was really going for this stuff hell for leather, and I wasn't thinking about my own mental health or how it was affecting me, and that really burnt me out, and it was really hard, and I didn't enjoy being at work sometimes, and I just found everything was becoming very stressful, and that was kind of all bleeding together, like my life and these kind of characters was all bleeding together, and it was just really overwhelming. And then I think the more I've done work, the more I trust myself. And sometimes when you get to work with people that don't know you, they sometimes don't trust you, which is kind of fair enough. But, you know, most of the time when I'm working with a director, I don't get an opportunity to kind of make them do a quick reel for me, or like something where I trust you, so show me you can direct. And then you're sort of sometimes put in these positions where people are they want to see everything, and they want to see it now because they're worried about how the project's going to end up. And casting people is hard, and you don't know how it's going to go, and you cast people off such a small thing. It's very quick. It's like you do a scene and then you're trusted with the whole thing. And sometimes, there's a distrust there. But I think as I've got older, I trust myself. So I kind of don't buy into having to prove myself all the time. And sometimes if it's not good for me, I don't feel like I'm in the right place. And I do kind of like, I'm sure you do as well, when you know these scenes are coming up, you kind of work yourself up, you figure out how you're going to get into it. And it's a whole thing. And to suddenly pull that out in a rehearsal in a small period of time, it's quite difficult and sometimes not necessary. I mean, if you're doing a theatre production and you're doing 3-4 weeks of rehearsal, you might need to do that. But if you're doing a TV series or a film and you've got a couple of days of rehearsal, it might be better just to leave it for the day if it's something that's a little bit too kind of explosive to start tinkering with in sort of not the real situation. And also I sort of always worry, maybe it's silly, but I always worry that I'll do it in rehearsal and then I'll never get that back.
Yeah, totally. Well, and there is a sense of like you want to also be able to surprise yourself and go, I want this to be as close to reality as possible. And so I want whatever drops in to drop in fully. I don't want to have a, because then as an actor, you then don't want to go, oh, well, or chase that performance that you did in rehearsal that felt good but wasn't meant to be. So we got another question from Rianne saying, what's your advice for young actors? And that feels like it's kind of brilliant in going, you know, like to take care of your mental health if you are going to do scenes that are like very emotional in that way. But then also you said quite a few times of trusting yourself, which I think is so applicable to whatever you're doing. But just that thing of like that little voice in your head that says, I don't think this is going to be right to follow that, because that's usually correct.
I think trusting yourself is a huge thing. Knowing that you, I think sometimes when you're acting, and maybe this is going to sound a bit like, but sometimes you almost become part of the furniture, and sometimes it almost feels like you don't know what you're offering. You come here, you say some lines, you stand where you're meant to, and sometimes your kind of like voice or the reason that you got a job feels like it's being taken from you. And sometimes you kind of have to assert yourself with a confidence, like sometimes, you know, I sometimes maybe need to back down a bit, but having a bit of confidence about why you're here and voicing your opinions, and maybe your opinions aren't always right, but at the same time, like, you have as much right to an opinion and to give your ideas as anyone else should do on set. Everyone should be able to kind of have their opinion and do their job. And acting is a job. It's not just you stand there, you do what you're told, and that's it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the trick, and what I loved watching you have these conversations, and not that, oh my gosh, every scene you were like, oh, let me have this conversation, but it was just
get my notes out.
Yeah, exactly. But it was really lovely for me to watch that, because it's a, oh my gosh, remember this day. Oh yeah, my gosh, in that flipping bad. Yeah, I just loved seeing you because it's also how, like, yes, you have this instinct, you have this trust of yourself to go, I'm going to offer up a different solution. But it's also how you communicate that of, like, people need to be able, it's a collaborative process, isn't it? Like, you never want to come in and be like, you're wrong and I'm right. It's more of a conversation, but it's ideas. Allowing yourself to have that voice, isn't it? Which is really important and then makes everything better. This scene here, remember how many times we shot this? This was away,
this was
right?
A night shoot.
We were all staying at that hotel.
You guys in a hotel.
Oh, but you weren't.
Because I had a hamster and I was like, I have to go home to feed my hamster. And they were like, okay.
Oh my God.
If you
want to
do a 2-hour trip, then fine.
Oh, bless him.
Yeah,
this was night shoot. I feel like we did this for 2 or 3 nights. This was a long time just for this one scene, but there were so many pieces to it, and I just remember, like, by the end of day one, I was like, I'm not in this anymore. Like, this is emotionally, like, you're just hyperventilating the whole time. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, I hope that Stefan edits this in a way that I look like I can at least act a tiny bit, because, like, this is just hard to keep in. But I remember thinking, like, this
you shoot the guy.
Shoot the guy. Which was hilarious because he was like, stop blinking. You can't blink because we need your eyes open. I was like,
oh yes!
You try shoot a gun and not blink.
Oh my God,
but this is obviously, like, such a massive scene for you. And these, like, this whole sequence you probably had to do for, well, just hours and hours and hours. And knowing it's coming, like, you're saying.
Yeah, we did. We did the whole sequence for hours and hours. And I think that the kind of bit at the end with Monique was very quick.
Oh my gosh, you're right. No, it was. Because I feel like it was, like, the last thing. Yeah, oh my gosh, you're so right. And
it's
we've got to get it done.
Yeah. It was like a whole night shoot of, like, doing the keep going. And then at the end, mastering. But which probably helped, because by the end, I think we all felt insane.
Was this, like, a bittersweet, you know, that's obviously an amazing emotional scene, but then it signals you not having scenes with Monique and... Like,
I know. Yeah, it was. It was really bittersweet. It was sad to see her go. But she still came to, we did some filming in New York, which was amazing, and she came and I knew that she was gonna come for that, so that was really lovely. But yeah, it was sad to end it, but we'd already done a big, you know, we'd done the episode that comes next, episode 5, before that. So
oh
we kind
God.
Of, it was kind of had, like, moved down, I think, a bit. So she didn't end that much before the rest of us, I think, before we kind of went to New
York,
because everything ended up getting moved around anyway.
I remember
because we did the aftermath before it. It was like, you know, we'd already decided where the blood was going to be on me and how I was going to hold her, and we'd done all the kind of reacting to it afterwards. So I remember it being, like, really overwhelming, being like, oh my God, we've got to do it now, and then actually figuring out on the day, oh, okay, well, I have to hold her like this, or I have to do it like this because there's blood here. And
I'd forgotten that. Yes, it was
weird.
So technical.
Yeah, it was very strange.
And then how do you, like, the episode is finished now, and so I will let you go, but just quickly, like, how do you do that when you have to be like, it was literally so specific in the blood has to be on your left hand, say, and toward the side, so then you have to, like, how do you make it so technical and then act like that?
I mean, it was funny because in the end it didn't really matter, because when we'd practiced it with her, I had my hands free. So we'd done, like, what are you going to do? And it was like pulling her onto my lap and holding her and everything. And then when we got there, we were both in handcuffs. There was nothing I could do. So it was just sort of like, and I just kind of, like, looked like I'm on top of her a bit because then some blood will get, like, it was just a very quick, like, well, as you know, with the best intentions on the day, something comes up and you're like, oh, I guess we do it like this.
Oh my god, I had forgotten that we were all zip tied. Oh my gosh, yeah, of course. And just grabbing the bracelet, which was such a huge
Oh,
story point, and then
yes.
trying to grab it being zip tied and her being zip tied. And yeah, it
Yeah,
was so funny
it was
that,
all
like,
very funny.
but well, you made it look very natural and just it's, I suppose, there's. For every emotional scene you see, including like any like sex scene or something that you watch that looks very just organic and just full, like led by emotion, there's always
Yeah.
so many technicalities that I feel like sometimes
Definitely.
our job is just to like perform wizardry and make it look natural, like do all these
Yeah.
things where you don't want the audience watching
Definitely.
it to go, well, she's that clearly they had an issue with her being in the zip ties because like how
Yeah.
it like it just looks so natural, which is crazy because yes, I'd completely forgotten all those discussions. It was like, well, yeah, but the blood needs to be on this part of the hand and she needs to get the
Yeah.
neck bracelet and
And then
she's
it was
zip
just
tied.
like, shove your hands in the blood
Canal
and
and
don't
I
worry
were
about
pulling you away with
it.
our little zip tie, like we all felt like little
I know,
T-Rexes, didn't we?
yeah.
Oh
Yeah, it
my
was all very
God.
awkward. But it looked great.
It
That's the
looked
thing. As soon as
great.
you see it and it's the way it's been shot and everything, the color, the grade looks so beautiful. I think the
So
color of it just
beautiful.
looks amazing.
Yeah.
It looks fantastic. It feels silly when you're doing it, but it looks great.
Oh no, that's the trust, you know, that's the trust we talked
Yeah.
about, which I feel like by this point, because we only had Chris, not only, but it was Chris Long and Stefan Schwartz directing, it was like at this point we feel like we'd been through it with Stefan starting with episode five, that now it was kind of like the
Yeah.
trust was definitely there of going, okay, I'm gonna.
Yeah.
And then at the end of like 3 days of night shoots, you go, sure, I'll do whatever you want.
Yeah.
I'm surrendering
Exactly.
to the hysteria that's going on inside my brain right now. I guess I'll do it. Sure, it'll
Yeah.
look great. Oh, thank you so much for doing this. You're just an absolute titan on screen.
I feel bad that maybe we didn't talk about the episode enough, but that's, I mean, that's fine, right? We
Oh my
talked
God.
about
Yeah.
the
Yeah. Well, that's why
show.
I love doing these because basically I get to ask everything I want.
Yeah.
But thank you so much
Well,
for
if there's a
doing
season
it.
two and you do it again, we'll have to do like one episode where it swaps round and someone gets to interview you.
Oh my gosh, imagine. Yeah, I'd be so nervous. Well, I
Yeah,
love you.
definitely a set.
Thank you for doing this. And thank you,
Thank you
everybody, for watching. Thank you for
so
your questions. And we'll see you next time with episode five. Not you, Georgina, don't worry. You get to go and live your
The
life
next
now. Yeah,
person.
the next
Yeah.
person. Oh, yeah. Thank you.
How lovely was that? I took my hat off. Oh, here she is. I took my hat off because I got so hot. I've got this new light and it really blasts me with the heat. Anyway, put my hat back on now for our little outro. Oh, gosh. I mean, I feel like I say this about everybody that I'm lucky enough to have on these watch-alongs, but she's just so amazing, isn't she? Like, just so wise and searingly talented, but also, like, just so lovely to work with. Look, I'm just gonna put you there. How's that? Perfect. Thank you for being here. Thank you for watching along. I hope that you found that entertaining and useful in some way. I feel like there was a lot of good life advice there. Again, I feel like I say that every time, but I do hope that these episodes, these watch-alongs can be just a good resource, whether you want to go into the industry or you're just having a tough day and you want to watch some good TV and find out a little bit about how it was made. Each episode, there's been stuff that's really sticking with me, like glue. And there was a lot in that episode that I just feel like the trusting yourself and then the being able to communicating it, brilliant. Who's good at communication? Oh yeah, about how she came out of her audition and burst into tears and called her mom because she thought it was so went so badly. That's just lovely because there's times that you think that and then you don't get the job or you don't get the call or you don't get the second date from the date and you're like, well, see, that clearly went badly. And it most likely didn't. Because there are times when you think it went really badly and you did book the job. So anyway, I guess what I'm trying to say with that is it's just lovely that you see somebody on screen like Georgina, that who is incredible and just looks like she books everything and has so much confidence with everything that she's doing. And it's not always the case. Like, everybody struggles with stuff. And I think too, when you really care about something, you know, if you care, that's kind of, it's just such an achievement. And it's also a real privilege to care about stuff, because, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we do in life that we're just like, don't care about, could get it, could not, who cares? But if you have something that you're really passionate about, then the stakes are higher. And so you do get emotionally attached or disappointed when stuff doesn't go your way. But even just feeling that disappointment is a privilege, because it means you're doing something that matters to you. And that's a great way to live your life. Oh my God, who am I? Oprah? Boy, maybe we should watch some of the stuff Oprah's done on Apple TV Plus with Oprah. Oprah, if you're watching, give me a call, text me, WhatsApp me, email me, or send me a Zoom link, you know what I mean? Gosh, right, I might need another cup of tea or a nap. It's hard to know sometimes, isn't it? Thank you so much for being here. This has been episode 4 of the Watch Along Suspicion Edition. See you for episode 5. It's probably even loading somewhere down here right now.